Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. This is my DIY. I forgot what I say at the beginning. Anyway, welcome. My name is Eric. I have this podcast and an eclectic DIY YouTube channel. Today, I'm here with my friend Will. We're going to talk about smart light bulbs, smart switches and things for your home. And then we're going to talk about donuts. Welcome, sir.
Donuts, the best thing in the morning. If you don't have a donut in the morning, I mean, how can it be a great day?
I'm sadly having a protein shake with bananas and peanut butter and cinnamon in it.
I had a bowl of Lucky Charms this morning and a couple hard-boiled eggs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that balance of the yin and yang, you know, healthy and not healthy.
What? The they have cereal inside the marshmallows. I mean, it's healthy.
So we were texting yesterday, and you were sending me pictures of the front of your house, and you have different colored lights that you can change with your phone or your iPad or something. And
yeah.
I was very intrigued.
Well, so I've got behind, the little short story of this is I got behind this holiday season and I couldn't really get a lot of holiday lights up. So I went online and on Amazon, I found a company that has a 4-pack of light bulbs, fairly inexpensive. And, you know, I changed out the bulbs on the front of the house and then I started messing with it. And all of a sudden I decided, holy cow, I can do the seasons. I can do the color. So like for deer hunting, I made them orange. And when the Packers or the Vikings played, I made them green and gold or purple and gold. And like today, the front of my house is Valentine's colors. It's red, white, and pink. And it's as easy as to do it on my phone. I'm like, you know, it's a kind of neat way to do something to your house. And it's fairly inexpensive. I mean, I think all the items we're going to talk about today are, you know, $20, $30, $40. And like you get a 4-pack of them or whatever it is to kind of update your home. But you can use these applications anywhere in your house at any point, which is really cool. So I'm kind of on the smart light bulb thing right now. And it's better than the LED side because you can change the colors, you can change the tones, you can change the brightness, everything from your mobile device.
So a regular LED bulb has an Edison screw, you know, it goes into a regular light bulb fixture, and you can buy it in a warm white or a cool white and at a certain wattage. And the smart LEDs that you have, you can change the color temperature, in other words, from a cold white to a warm white to a green to a blue. And you can also change the brightness on them?
Yeah, so they screw in just like a regular Edison light bulb. They have light bulbs now for the small port and the large one. If you know the difference between what I'm talking about, like a ceiling fan has small ones usually. And
right, the candelabra socket.
Yeah, so they have both of them on the market today. But you can basically do any color of white that you want in any brightness. And then something like 16 million colors of any color you could possibly think of. But on top of that, you can also program it to do certain colors at certain times. Like in the morning, I have them turn on and they're on when, you know, the kids are leaving for school. Then they shut off. And then in the evening, they turn themselves back on. So if you have a security light, you could make it white, let's say, and have it turn on at 10 p.m. at night and go till 2 in the morning if you needed to light up a walkway or something like that. And you don't have to run any special wires or anything because the device is wireless. So as long as the light bulb can see your wireless network, you can control it, you can see if it's on, you can see if it's off. You don't even have to be home to turn it on and off, and it'll automatically do it itself if you want it to.
That I find very interesting, the idea of being able to turn it on and off, because at our little house up in the woods, I have a couple of lights on timers just because I like to make it look like there's someone there, and even if it's not, I don't know if that works or not, but it's peace of mind for me. And I got these digital timers that plug into the wall. From the blue or orange store, I got them. And after about a year, they start flaking out. And you can't take it apart and fix it. It's you know, got a microchip on it and the buttons stop working. And I'm like, I really don't like disposable technology like that. So I like this idea where I could program that to turn on and not have to worry about another thing plugged into the wall. And they're kind of ugly in the, you know, it's a nice, the wall, it's knotty pine, and then you've got this white thing stuck in the outlet.
Yeah.
And then,
go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
And the other thing I love about this smart light bulb idea is in the morning, I think it's better to have like a blue white light And then in the evening, that same room could have a warm white light, you know?
Well, if you want to go even further than that, is you can, if you have like smart technology like Alexa or Google Home or any of those, like on ours, you can say, hey, Google, turn on this light. Hey, Google, turn on that light. And it'll go and turn on the lights around the house. Or you can have it do dad mode, which I do all the time, which is, hey, Google, turn off all the lights. And it'll turn off 19 lights in the house that all the kids leave on all the time. You know, so it's something that you can integrate into not only your phone, but also, you know, smart home technology if you have that with Google or if you have Alexa or any of that kind of stuff, which adds even another complexity because you're walking in the house with a bag of groceries. Hey, Google, turn on the kitchen light. And all of a sudden the light turns on. You just keep walking into the house with your stuff without having to fumble with a light switch.
So this extends into the wall switches as well, right?
Right. So I sent you three different ones. I sent you a camera, a wall switch, and the light bulbs. The light bulbs, you can buy them in a four pack. They used to be like $60 or $70 for a four pack. During Christmas and the holiday times, I saw them for $19.99. But the other thing they now have is the same company has light switches that can be switched out so that then if you have things where you have a whole bunch of lights on your ceiling, you can add the same technology. It doesn't change the color of the light, but the ability to turn it on and off, schedule it like, hey, turn on the front lights at sunrise and turn it off at sunset. And then you don't have to really ever think to change your timers or anything like that. It automatically does it for you. So now they have these rocker light switches that you can replace in things all over your house and then do the same exact things we talked about. Minus the light switch won't change the color of the light bulbs, but it's basically any lamp, any technology, any device that you can have that light switch on with.
So that switch also has a traditional, it's called a rocker switch, but you know, you can flip it up or down or press it up and down and it'll turn the light on and off.
Absolutely. That's the big change with these is, you know, if you had a smart switch years ago, one of the things that would come with it was you would put it in the wall, but then there'd be some weird, awkward button and stuff like that. These look like just regular toggle switches you'd find at the hardware store, at the orange store, the green, blue store, whatever. And you just press it and it works. But then on top of that, inside of it, it has the technology to connect to Wi-Fi and then allow you to control it.
Yeah, this is, I'm intrigued. I have a friend of mine who's how he has a four bedroom house and it's fully Amazon Alexa. You know, he just walks into the different rooms and there's that little hockey puck on the table somewhere, which makes me a little nervous because it is listening to what I say. So I don't say anything incriminating at his house. But he lives alone and it's Alexa is kind of like his roommate that he yells at, you know. But it'll turn everything on and off and tell him whatever he wants to know.
You know, what's funny about that is when you're leaving his house, all you have to say is, hey, Alexa, set an alarm for 3:30 a.m. and then just walk out the door and, you know, he'll love you forever. He'll never know you did it. All of a sudden, the alarms and the lights are blinking in the house at 3 a.m.
So being the a devil's advocate, I guess, here on this is I think it would make sense to buy quality smart devices rather than the one-offs because they will last longer. Because these, I mean, I guess we don't know yet, you know, if the Wi-Fi changes or if your phone software system won't support the app anymore, I have run into that with the early smart devices at least.
We talked about it on the last podcast about thermostats where I have some thermostats in my house that are 6 years old and I can't update them because they're not there. I mean, that potentially could happen. I guess the reason why I was bringing this up is over the holiday season and over the last couple of months, there's been a monumental change within regards to Wi-Fi chipsets, which makes products super inexpensive now. Those light bulbs I was talking about were $20, $25 a piece. Now you can get a four pack of them for $20. Or the switches were $50 a piece. Now you can get a four pack of them for $40. So it's at the point where I'm not saying it's disposable technology, but I feel better if I have a $5 light bulb that ends up going bad, but I get to use it for 3 or 4 years than if I spent $50 on that same light bulb. So that was kind of really my point. That and the manufacturer links that I sent you has some of the highest ratings on Amazon. They sell thousands of these. So it doesn't come in, you know, a package that you can't understand the writing on the outside of, or it looks like it just, you know, came off the boat you know, is just some knockoff stuff. This is actually kind of making the evolution to branded stuff. If you go to a Best Buy or if you go to some of the electronic stores, they went from having, you know, two shelves of this stuff to 8 to 10 feet of this type of stuff on the shelves, because really this year is going to be the wave when all of this type of stuff is going to be coming in the market.
I'm intrigued by this because I always forget to put up my Christmas lights, you know, and then I'm like, oh, I could just change the color of the bulbs outside instead.
I mean, that's what I do. I'm thinking of every holiday, like 4th of July, I'm going to have it red, white, and blue. And the beauty of it, too, is like where I get stuck is I'll set the timer on my old lights at like, oh, turn them on at 5 o'clock. And then like midsummer, I look at the front of my house and it's bright daylight outside and the lights are still on at 5 o'clock because I forgot to change the timer because it gets darker later. These lights, you could tell it 20 minutes before sunset or 20 minutes before sunset, and it follows the sun calendar so that then you don't have your lights on in the middle of the afternoon because you forgot to change the timer and the clock. So they even have little smart things like that to help it so you don't do silly things, you know.
That also saves energy as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing too, is these are LED light bulbs. So, I mean, changing out a traditional light bulb, you're getting all these fancy features and it's not really zapping you for 60 or 80 watts of power. They're just as efficient as the current LED light bulbs that are out there, which is actually fairly surprising.
It's like 4 to 9 watts for your average LED bulb. And my other thought, I mean, I was questioning the obsolescence of the app and everything of these smart LED bulbs, but I mean, LED bulbs do last longer, but even your regular LED bulbs after a couple of years do need to be replaced. And so if you did run into this app obsolescence, when the bulb burns out, you're going to replace it with a newer smart bulb with a newer updated piece of software. So I like to watch YouTube. I don't know if you like to do that, but like at the end of the day or at lunch, I like to just prop up my iPad and watch something that's, you know, 7 to 15 minutes long. And I really enjoy a lot of the stuff that's on there. The problem is with the YouTube is what bugs me is the algorithm. If I watch, I'm doing a deep dive on these father and son who bought a short line railroad. And unfortunately now YouTube shows me a million more railroading videos. And I'm like, you know, I just want to watch this one thing. So at the end of the day, sometimes after about 6:30, I don't do anything computer related. My eyes hurt. I don't post anything on the internet after 6:30 because that's usually when I make mistakes. And I was kind of toast and I thought, you know, maybe I'll just ride my exercise bike and watch Masterclass instead. So yes, we're talking about Masterclass again. They made me an affiliate, which I'm really flattered by. And so we'll talk about it here. Here we go. I've been watching, hold on, I have his page open right here. It is Chris Hadfield, who is from Canada, and he is he's a retired NASA astronaut now. But he has a masterclass on what it is like to become an astronaut. And I've watched the first two lessons and I'm overwhelmed already at the amount you have to know. It's amazing. And what I really like about it is Chris is literally sitting in a chair, a comfortable chair with a nice background. It's got rocket models and stuff in the back and warm light, but it's just him talking. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of graphics, but I really, really enjoy it. And I'm like, okay, so instead of me watching some DIY guy try and maybe be funny with his dogs or something and it's not working, I'm actually learning something here. I'm not watching a reality show on a channel and like, you know, where they set up these fake tension, you know, shake, or one of those real estate shows. What's it called? House Hunters or whatever. That stuff is rather choreographed, let me just say. This is a person who has gone to space 3 times, former test pilot, now astronaut, wicked smart, but very approachable. And that's the approachable part here is important for me. So if you're interested in Masterclass, it's a bunch of classes by wicked smart people that are great at teaching. And I'm really enjoying the Chris Hadfield one. It is 7.5 hours long. And yeah, it's a little pricey. It's about $15 a month, I think. But it's a learning experience. It's Anyway, I'll stop talking about it, but we have a link in the show notes here if you're interested in learning about Masterclass. All right, back to the show. This is interesting. So we were texting last night about this, and I was like, then the wheels started turning in my head all night. So,
well, you want to talk about the last one, which I think is probably the best out of all of the items, that camera that I sent you?
Yes.
So Wyze is a new company. I believe it's backed by some venture capitals, and I want to say it's partially owned by Amazon. I'm not 100% sure who owns it, but they make these smart cameras. And one of the big problems with cameras back in the day was you had to run power out to the location where the camera was. Then you had to run a cord out to where it was. And then the unit sent the information back to a box, and then you have to go view it on a television. And eventually it evolved to that box viewed it on the on your smart device. Well, these little cameras now, you basically, as long as you can plug it into an outlet somewhere, and actually there's some a little bit more expensive ones where you can just charge them and then set them somewhere and they'll work. So yes. The version I sent you, the $35 one, you plug into an outlet and it works anywhere, and it'll set notifications and give you all the benefits. So if you wanted to see if the UPS guy showed up or what time your kids got home, or even, you know, looking in the backyard at your summer home, hey, is the snow gone, is whatever, you know, if you have a remote location, you can check that kind of stuff. But then on top of that, they now have some new ones, and I've been testing these out at my property, and I'll tell you, it's -20 outside right now. So
wow.
These have been tested in the harshest environments, but they have one that charges. I charged it back in November. I stuck it to the side of my pole barn up by my apple orchard, and today it's still streaming live video. Every time I check it, I can see what the apple trees in the orchard looks like. It's been outside in the cold, and it still has battery life with it. And it's completely wireless and works basically anywhere. You just turn it on, it connects to your Wi-Fi network. As long as it can see Wi-Fi and the battery is charged, you have a streaming device. So now you can add these cameras in any configuration anywhere without having to worry about if there's an outlet there, if you have to plug it in or anything. So I was pretty excited. I was skeptical and I didn't want to say anything until I got one of these and tried it out. I happened to get one during the holiday seasons, and it's been running ever since, and it's bulletproof.
That's interesting, because I bought a different brand, but I do have an outdoor camera now at my garage, because there's nothing really valuable in the house. Everything that's valuable is in the garage. I sure. Finally realized, you know, mainly tools. And it's a different brand, which was highly rated. I'll link to it. It's called an Oofy, I think, but I'll link to it in the show notes here. Everything we're talking about will be in the show notes here. But you charge it up, you plug it into a USB charger, and then you put it out, and we're not -20. We got down to zero several times and it still worked fine. And I have it set to, if it detects a person, it records 10 or 20 seconds of video and then it pings me, you know, it sends me an alert. But what I really liked about the brand I have is it records that video locally. It doesn't put it up in the cloud. And I have a certain paranoia about the cloud, even though I'm pretty much, you know, up to my neck in the cloud. But it's very highly rated, and I'll link to that one as well. And then the company that I bought from now has the same unit with a little solar panel on the top, so you don't have to take it down and charge it.
Yep. The Wyze has the same thing where you can put a SD card in it, record locally. Actually, that's what I do, is those little micro cards are cheap. You get four of them for $10 or whatever, you know, because you don't need much storage. You don't need a, you know, 120 gig storage right. card. You just need, you know, 16. So I bought the little four pack, put them in all the cameras. And then if something came up and I needed to go back to review it, the beauty of it is, as long as that camera's on the internet, I can go on my phone and review that card remotely.
Yes.
So the UPS guy drives in at the pole barn and drops off some boxes. It sends me a text that there was motion. And then when I click on that text, it asks me, do I want to watch the video? And it'll play the little 10-second video for me of whatever it is. So it's not annoying you with every little tiny thing it does. These cameras have now gotten smart enough to actually detect. So when a cat runs by, it doesn't tell me. But when a person walks by, it does. So I thought that was pretty cool. But more importantly, the price points. I mean, these used to be $150, $200 a piece. I think the one I sent you on Amazon is $35.
Yeah.
Which you could use it as a baby monitor. I'm not going to sell you on what you can use it for. You'll figure out the best use for what fits in your life. But more importantly is the cheap stuff used to be kind of garbage. Now these cheap cameras are actually getting to the point where they're working really well. So I thought it was a perfect fit for your listeners.
Two thoughts here. My mesh network that I installed is working really well. I'll link to it below. I bought three. They look like three little plastic white vases or something. And there's one in the three areas of the house. Works really well. And I created a second Wi-Fi network just for the smart devices we're using. Because I'm still, I have a certain paranoia about the being able to hack those devices and somehow get into your laptop or something. There's obviously I have some paranoia about this. So all my smart camera and my thermostats and everything are on a separate Wi-Fi network, which you can create. Usually it's called a guest network, and you can choose to not have that shown. You know, when you go to a laptop and you do the little Wi-Fi pull down, it shows all the available networks. You can choose to have it hidden where you have to type in the name of the network to grab it. And that kind of makes me feel a little better about that. So yeah, I'm stepping gingerly into this world, and it's mainly good, I think.
I jumped in on the deep end. But that's my style, you know. It's
yes.
I've always been the tech geeky guy, but at the same point I'm a value shopper on a lot of this stuff now, and I used to get burned a lot because I'd buy this really cheap stuff online and you couldn't read the manual and the software was really wonky and it just didn't work very well. And I don't know why, but this holiday season, there was some pretty cool stuff that came out, and there's a lot of great applications that people can use to, you know, improve things that they have issues with. And that's what we're doing with it. So.
Hey, would you be interested in supporting the show and getting some behind-the-scenes stuff that I don't share out to the general public? I've talked about Patreon before here. It's a program where it's kind of like the PBS model of a monthly support. So I'm asking for a cup of fancy coffee a month, if you'd like to consider that. And in return, I share with you sometimes stuff four times a week. Sometimes it's once a week. It just depends on where my brain is at. But I'm looking at the posts I've done recently. You can get them by email or on the Patreon app. The Patreon app is a much better experience, I think, but also by email. First of all, you get an after show for every podcast. So whoever I'm talking to in the show, we usually want to talk about something else and it doesn't quite fit into what we're talking about. So we do it as the after show for patrons. And something I just posted to the Patreons, to my patrons, I found Garden Fork episode number 101 yesterday, and I posted it for patrons, which can be listened to in your podcast app. So the after show has its own unique RSS feed that you can plug into your podcast player, whichever one it is. And so in addition to the regular show on your podcast app, the after show shows up as well. So and my phone just shut down. So nice. A post called Donut Alone Time. There's a picture of me feeding the Labrador some breakfast. A picture of Andy staring at the camera. I got my ATV, my quad, stuck in the snow. And I was talking, I took some pictures about how I got it unstuck. Progresses on editing I'm doing. I do some screen snaps of the edit screen and like the donut show, I did a little screen grab of my editing. Talking about where to find the serial number on an engine, stuff like this. So, yeah, cup of coffee. Aren't I the greatest promoter of my own show? So, cup of coffee a month. There's links in the show notes here. Or go to patreon.com/gardenfork. That's patreon.com/gardenfork, right? Thank you. So I am upgrading the Garden Fork website. I've got a new piece of software that helps me look at every post on the site, see what the Google Analytics are, what needs to be improved, what's missing, what kind of ADA compliance you have. But websites have to have Americans with Disabilities Act compliance now. And one thing I'm looking at is a lot of the podcast posts, you know, the posts with a audio file on it. They're either the links are broken or they're in the wrong place. And I have a S3 Amazon web service account, so I can store images or video or files on Amazon servers around the world for a very incredibly cheap price. And so my idea is to store the audio on there and it'll pull it off there and not slow down my server. But I was noodling around my Amazon Web Services account because it's basically the biggest virtual hard drive in the world on your desktop. And when you upload it, you can mirror it around the world. And you can also use Amazon AI to build out your own apps and your own things. So if you want to really get geeky, you can create your own apps and stuff just using this off-the-shelf Amazon stuff that you just kind of click on and drag into your app. It was pretty amazing what I found up there and it's just they bill you per megabyte or per use or whatever. So it's kind of amazing what they have.
So am I hearing you say that the Garden Fork app is coming soon?
No. I guess we could make one. Kevin's going to weigh in on this. I'm going to get an email from Kevin. So, but, which I love, by the way, but I don't know about a Garden Fork app, but that I have some friends that have websites and they've built their own apps. I'm sure there's an off the shelf. It's like a cookie cutter app that you essentially probably do like an RSS feed from your website and it pulls the posts and the content into an app so people can read on their phone. You can look at the Garden Fork website from your phone. It's all mobile compatible, but I was just kind of amazed at what the average person can do with what's out there. Have you ever heard of if that, then this?
Yes. Yep. The one where it makes the, like if this program runs, then run these things. I mean, you can make little bots that run on your computer. Like if I open Excel, make sure you open up this and that stuff. I've heard that. And then they also have that for websites now.
Right. Well, I also have it for these smart devices because the camera you sent me is compatible with Alexa, Google Assistant, and IFTTT, which is if that, then this, which is this programming site where you literally click and drag modules or little scripts essentially to build out whatever you want a smart device to do. Or what I use it for is when I send when I post a picture to Instagram, it automatically posts it to my Twitter account as well.
Nice. Very nice.
Because if you just set up Instagram to post to Twitter, it posts a link back to Instagram. And what I've got it set up to do is to post the actual picture on my Twitter feed. So people in my Twitter feed will see the picture and not a link to go look at a picture because they're not going to do that. And all that was off the shelf stuff on if that, then this. And Rick told me about that. So hats off to Rick here. But you can also do that same kind of thing. You're like, if my motion sensor goes off, I could program these other devices to turn on, like the garage lights go on or something like that, or a giant alarm goes off. So it's called IFTT, and the website's amazing. And there's a bunch of pre-written sequences, scripts, I'm not quite sure what modules, but so these computer people have written stuff and they're giving it away for free on this site, and you click and drag it, and it's pretty cool. So I like that.
You know, we were talking about the Garden Fork app, and quite honestly, you already have it. It's called the email newsletter. You just sign up and you get all the Garden Fork stuff in your inbox. So, I mean, I don't know if you need an app. I was just kidding about that.
If you join our email newsletter, you get a picture of the Labradors every week. So that's my plug.
Well, the beauty of it, too, is like, you know, the podcast doesn't necessarily tell me that there's a new podcast out there, or the YouTube doesn't tell me there's a new video out there, but when that email shows up, it's all listed. I can just click and do whatever, and it's a nice reminder when technology fails to keep you up to date on all the stuff happening here.
I love email. I love it.
It's so reliable. More than anything else, it's just, it's the one thing. Email and text messages seem to be, you know, the things that get things done, if that makes sense.
You know who gets stuff done is Nicole. She's amazing.
You know, I've gone, not to go down a rabbit hole, and oh boy, I don't want to open up the rabbit hole, but you know, I had that Tesla for a very short period of time. I have Excel spreadsheets. I have research charts. It has consumed my life to figure out how an electric vehicle could fit into my life. It's very strange.
It's a big game changer. I've been kind of careful with the podcast not to make it the electric car podcast, but it seems like every day I talk to somebody about electric cars.
Can I tell you one cool homework trick that I'm doing right now that anybody can do at home that I read online, which kind of made me rethink electric cars?
Sure.
It's actually really simple. So take your trip odometer in your car and press it and have it set zero. And then just keep track of, you know, driving around and do your regular life, so on, and keep track of how long it takes you to get to 300 miles. And that will tell you what the range of an electric car is. We tested it with my wife, and it took her 6 days to burn up 300 miles, which means one overnight charge, she could drive for 6 days in her car. So at first I was thinking, oh my gosh, I have to charge this every night. I'm going to be strapped to a charger and draining the battery and worried about all this stuff. In our life, my wife takes the kids to school, does errands and things like that. 6 days. It was shocking. And we tried it a couple times, and it averaged, you know, 5.5 to 7, you know, somewhere in there, but it always came to the same. So for people who are worried about if an electric car would fit in their life or not, the easiest test is just set it, because the average gets about 300 miles. I mean, tons of them get more than that, but a good safe number is that to tell you how often you'd have to charge that thing if you actually had it in your life.
Yeah, and there's also like the Chevy Bolt or Chevy Volt, which I'm pretty sure Nicole owns that, has a shorter range, but it's still, I mean, the average person drives 30 miles a day. And the Chevy Bolt has a shorter range, but it's still, again, you're not having to charge it every night, I found. But a funny story here. So I had to take one of my best friends. He lives up in Connecticut, and I had to take him to the hospital for his colonoscopy, which you should all get. It's the easiest thing in the world. And they're like, okay, we'll come back in 2 hours. I'm like, okay. And there's a Panera Bread nearby. So I just got my iPad and I sat in a two-person seat. I'm not going to be that guy sitting at the four-person table, you know, being the single person there. And next to me is a kind of a longer table, and a group of retired people kind of congregated there. And I'm like, they're talking, and they all know each other. And I'm like, okay, clearly they meet here a couple times a week. And so one of them just says, I'm thinking about buying an electric car. Do I have to put some kind of plug in the wall? What do I have to do there? And they're all like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've heard this. And I'm just trying to mind my own business. And so finally, I just was Eric. And I just said, here's what you need. And then for 20 minutes, they asked me questions about electric cars. And I think I might have converted some of them to seriously consider it.
So are you going back for breakfast next week?
Yeah, I'm going to go hand out my affiliate link, you know.
You know, we talked about cameras and light switches this week. Next week, we're going to talk about this.
But it was just kind of neat because, I mean, a while ago, people were like, oh, I don't want nothing to do with that thing. Oh, you know, because of, you know, information can be, a lot of wrong information is out there. But they were, and I just said to them, I said, look, you know, where do you, every day, do you drive 300 miles? No. You know, and I said, you need, what I also say is, here's what you need in your garage, the electric dryer plug. And they're like, oh, I have one of those in my laundry room. Yeah, you need that same thing in your garage. And you plug the charger gizmo into that and you're good. And they're like, oh, well, that's easy. You know, when you simplify it and you take away some of the voodoo that's out there, I don't know. So anyway, we could talk more about electric cars, of course.
We should talk about in the after show how much Xanax I needed to actually drive the Tesla in autopilot mode, because that was something else. Take your hands and foot off the wheel and foot off the gas and hands off the wheel and drive down the highway with a whole bunch of cars whizzing around. Man, your anxiety goes through the roof the first time you do it.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that in the after show for our patrons. We were going to talk about donuts. So we're almost at our half hour mark, but we could still talk about donuts.
You made a video. That was so cool. I have a donut machine and I'm testing and trying to figure out the best way to do it. But I had never even crossed my mind, and I don't know why, that I could just get a cast iron pan and do it on an induction cooktop outside and I'd be good to go. That was so cool.
Yeah, I as we all know, I love donuts. And Wanda sent me a cast iron cooking cookbook from America's Test Kitchen quite a while ago, and I immediately saw this recipe, and of course, me being me, it took me years to make the video about it, but they're called drop donuts. So all donuts don't have to have a hole, and they're like a donut that's a dumpling kind of shape. I couldn't quite get them to be perfectly round like the America's Test Kitchen photos showed, but it was still fun to make. And the secret to the batter is nutmeg, believe it or not.
Really?
Nutmeg in a fried dough is, it just has this beautiful warming flavor to it.
How smelly, I mean, because sometimes like when you fry fish or fry certain things, you get a heavy odor with it. How bad was that using the oil with the cast iron inside?
It was fine. I think with fish, a lot of the taste of the fish gets atomized with oil, you know, into the air. And the donuts, it at least to me, it didn't smell bad. I mean, the house smelled like donuts, so how could that be bad?
True, very true.
But you have a donut making machine for your camping resort, and mastering the batter for that has been quite a challenge.
I will be honest, I still have not successfully had the machine run optimally. It'll make a couple donuts and then it gets clogged up, and there's something about how thick the batter and how thin the batter is, because it's the coolest little device. I mean, it just plops four of them down in a little thing. It cooks, it automatically flips them over twice and then flips them out into your sugar, and you can just fill the bin and it'll make, you know, 60 donuts in, you know, 2 minutes or something like that, which is awesome and fun. But I'm still trying. I haven't given up on it, but I have not successfully. I go to the state fair and I watch these guys have the machines run, and they just run for hours and hours and hours. And I walk up and tap on the glass and I'm like, how did you make that batter? You know, and they don't tell me. So,
you know, I think if you outsourced that project, you would find success.
Well, if you want to come over, I'll get you a cabin. You can stay at the cabin and you can mess around at the donut machine. And once we get it going, we'll have a good old time and then have some old fashions at the end of the day and watch the sunset.
There's got to be someone in your town that loves baking, that is like a home baking expert, that you could hire for a week and say, here's the machine, take it home and figure out the batter. And they would do it.
There's only one problem with that, right? Is the power for the machine. I'd have to find somebody who has a dryer vent or something like that to plug it into, because it's a 220 on the machine. So, because I've thought about that, of giving it to somebody, but they're like, I can't use this. I have nothing I can plug it into. I'm not going to unplug my dryer to run a donut machine.
Well, maybe they could come onto the campus then.
So. Yeah, exactly. I that's what I think. So if you're interested in free drinks at the bar, call me at 555-1234.
All right. So Will and I are going to stick around here and talk about anxiety in a Tesla and some aha moments he shared with me by text. But if you guys are interested in all the smart devices we talked about, there are affiliate links in the show notes here. If you're listening on an app, usually if you just touch on the little Garden Fork logo or the name of the show, the text will drop down and those will be clickable links. Helps us pay the bills here. So appreciate that. If you have some smart device stories, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. That's radio@gardenfork.tv. Will, this was a great idea. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our producer is Sean O'Neill. If you need an amazing podcast producer, visit Sean's site, seaninbrooklyn.com. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, inbrooklyn.com. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.